I just jotted down a couple of notes for tonight, amen, so it'll be a short sermon. Usually they're the longest ones, amen, but anyway. We're going to look at Mark chapter 9, if you want to turn over there, and we'll be reading that in a moment. But one of the things that really stirs my heart at the prayer advance is just being in the service with the music and with the singing, congregational singing. There is no inhibitions in the prayer advance when it comes to singing congregational music. I mean, people sing out and they're excited about singing. And it's always interesting to me the freedom to get right with God. I was watching as the service was going on, different times, different fellows got under conviction during the service. And while the preacher is preaching, just came up and knelt in the altar and prayed to God and talked to God. And there's a freedom. The Spirit of God can move in an environment like that. I'm afraid many times what we do is we so structure our church services. Our mindset is when we come to church, this is our expectation. This is the way everything should go. And don't let anything be out of the ordinary. Don't let anything be out of order. And but yet, what if God wants to do something different? What if God wants to impress on our hearts and do something in conviction? Why can't we just be feel free enough to be able to respond at the prodding of God? And oftentimes people shout amen. And I've had people in this church complaining about people saying amen. And I'm going to tell you, the Bible tells us to shout unto the Lord. We're supposed to give praises unto God. And I've had people, you know, somebody holds their hands up and everybody turns and looks at them, you know. And I don't have to be afraid of expressing praise to my God because some charismatic does that. But as soon as you do that in the Baptist church, everybody gets all nervous. And so one of the things that really blesses me, besides the preaching, I love the preaching, is the fact of just being able to be in the service and feel the freedom to worship God as God's impressing it on my heart with no fear of anybody looking at me. And the sad thing is, where that's the problem, I think, the thing that hinders our worship of God is we're afraid that somebody's going to look at us because we're doing something out of the norm. And I just want you to know from the pulpit, from this preacher, I'm okay with you shouting amen. I'm okay with you saying hallelujah. I'm okay with you clapping. I'm okay with you lifting your hands up before the Lord. However, God's priding you to lift up his name in praise, then let it be so. And if God is so convicting you that you need to get something right with God, this altar is always open. You can come up here and kneel anytime. You won't distract me when I'm preaching. I can tell you that right now. And if there's something you need to get right with God, then get it right with God. I don't care if it's 15 minutes in the service or if it's after the service is done. Get it right with God. And when God shows up, I want to be ready to meet him. Amen. And so we need to have that freedom. I want to share just some thoughts out of Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 14. It's a familiar passage, and it's dealing with fasting and prayer. And just some thoughts the Lord laid on my heart in reference to this evening that I think will be a help to us. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 14, it says, "When he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What question ye with them?' And one of the multitude answered and said, 'Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake unto thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him, saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And when Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, the disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Let's pray. God, this passage moves me so deeply when I see the sorrow and the distress in this father and in his son. And I see the inability of the disciples to do anything about it. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to know the importance and the significance, Lord, of prayer and fasting. We are living in such a vile and wicked world. Lord, we're not going to be able to accomplish anything if we're not focused on prayer and fasting. And so, Lord, speak to us tonight. Give us some thoughts that will help us in patterning our life after Christ in this matter of prayer and fasting. And I pray, Lord, we'll be able to see great answers to prayer, great move of God in our personal life, in our church, in our homes, God, in our communities, that we might be able to see the Spirit of God unleashed and bringing conviction on multitudes of people. And so speak to us tonight as we gather some thoughts. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Prayer and fasting. Notice, first of all, he says, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And I thought this, when we talk about prayer and fasting, we need to, first of all, identify the need. He said, this kind, a very specific situation, this kind. What's he talking about? He's talking about this boy who's possessed of an evil spirit. He's talking about the inability of the disciples to be able to do anything for this boy who is possessed of a demon. And so identify what the need is. We have to stop praying in generalities. We have to stop praying in our Baptist phraseology. We have our preconceived ideas of how people ought to pray and how it sounds when they're praying, when all we got to do, we got to get with God and just tell him what the real problem is and be very specific. This kind, this is what the problem is. My son is possessed of a demon. My son cannot even control himself. The demon takes him everywhere and throws him in the fire and tears him and rips him. This kind, he's very specific about what needed to be accomplished in his son's life. And so when we talk about prayer and fasting, let's be very specific with God. Identify what the problem is in real terms. You don't have to start making up spiritual terms to talk to God. Just talk to him about it. If it's a bill that you have that you need to pay because you are foolish and charging up your credit card to where you can't afford it, then just tell God, God, I'm in debt and I blew it. God, I need you to pay this bill. I need you to come through for me on this. And just being real and sincere with God. Why? Because this kind, I've got to identify what is taking place. If you're having a problem with pornography, if you have a problem with the internet and you're having problems with that, then let's get real with God and say, Lord, this is the website I'm having a problem with. God, this is the situation that consumes my thought process. God, I need you to deliver me from this. I'm just saying this. We need to get specific with what it is that we're praying about rather than just, Lord, help me to watch out what I set before my eyes. Well, what you setting before your eyes? You say, well, God knows everything. Yeah, but he needs you to identify it. Because if you do not identify it, you'll never do anything about it. And so we need to identify what the need is. And this man, when he came to Jesus, he was very specific about what the problem was and what the need was that was going on. Matter of fact, verse 20, he's very specific. He says, they brought him unto him. And when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. Now listen, I know what a dog looks like when it has rabies. And a dog that has rabies, they're foaming at the mouth and they're out of control. And literally that's what this young boy was. He was consumed with this spirit that he was literally wallowing in his own body and experiences and on the ground and rolling around on the ground and foaming at the mouth because this demon was ripping him completely apart. This kind can only come forth but by prayer and fasting. Notice also he says in verse 21, Jesus asked the Father, he says, how long is it since this came upon unto him? And he said, of a child. And I thought about this when I was reading through this passage of a child. Hey, mom and dad, you got to pray for your children that the devil doesn't get a hold of them when they're a child. Let me tell you something. This stuff that goes on, all the advertising and all the influence and all the entertainment and all this that goes on in our society is designed to capture your child, to capture their thought process, to capture their intention of how they live and what their desire and what will control them. It is designed to ruin your child. And so we need to specifically pray for the children in our church. It's disheartening to me. It's disheartening to me. I'm looking across our building tonight, and there are families who have children in our church that are not here tonight. And I'm going to tell you, there is going to be a problem where the devil is going to get a hold of them and influence them and ruin their life. We'll say, no, it's not. Well, I can tell you right now, I can show you a list of, for the 23 years or 22 years that I've been here, of how many young people that are now adults that are not living for God and their lives are ruined. And I can tell you right now, it's because of the fact we didn't get specific in confronting the problem, acknowledging the need, and lifting them up before God, and aggressively praying and pursuing God that God would do something that I can't do. I can't change the circumstances in somebody's life, but I know that God can. I can't make your children spiritual, but I know God can. And we need to point our children to the one who can change them. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But this kind of problem is only going to come about by prayer and fasting. Moms and dads, grandparents, let me ask you something. How often in this past year, 2017, how often did you fast and pray for your children? Whether adult children, whether young children, how often have you fasted and prayed for your children? Well, I prayed for my children. I didn't ask that. How often have you fasted and prayed for your children? Because this kind of move of God requires prayer and fasting. The only way that you're going to be able to deliver your children from the influence of this world and how strongly this world wants to ruin your children is you've got to pray and fast. And your children need to know that you're praying and fasting for them. And so this kind, identify the need. Notice not only identify the need, but declare the outcome. He says in our text in verse 29, this kind can come forth by nothing. And so declare what the outcome is. What do you want to accomplish? What is it you want to experience? And listen, this fellow that had his son brought to Jesus, he had a desire for an outcome, and that was for the demon to get out of his son, that his son might be set free. And just as important as it is for us to be specific in identifying the need, it is important for us to declare, what is it we want God to do? What's the outcome? And oftentimes, once again, we're just praying in generalities, but God, this is what I need done, and this is what I desire to see accomplished. Why? Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. One of the things that refreshes me over and over again when I go to the prayer advances is the reality that I can just be right with God in reference to being very direct and declaring, God, this is what I need you to do. This is what I desire for the outcome to be. Now, God may have to change my heart for the desire because his desire may be different, but when my desire lines up with the desire of God in my life, I'm telling you, it comes to pass. But we haven't taken the time to pray and fast for the outcome, so how can we expect the outcome to be what we think it ought to be? It's like we're a rat on a wheel just running in circles constantly. So we need to identify the need, this kind. We need to declare the outcome that he wanted this demon to come out of him. But then we need to be committed to the process. And the process is but by prayer and fasting. Now, I want you to be praying right now because Easter's going to be upon us before you know it. And we have some special things we're doing for Easter with the choir and this, that, and the other. But one of the things that we're going to be doing, we're going to be doing a 40-day fasting and praying, 40 days working up to Easter, that God will do something special that is supernatural and miraculous on Easter. 40 days of fasting and praying. Now, you don't have to fast and pray for 40 days. Amen. Some of you are getting real nervous. I saw beads of sweat will just start to, like it's raining outside. No. But this is what you can do. You can sign up for a 24-hour period, the fast. Now, listen, it's not hard to fast for 24 hours, you know. You can eat dinner tonight, and then after you eat dinner, go to bed. Then you get up and go to work during the day, and you come back and you eat dinner the next night, and you're fine. You won't die, amen. You'll survive. But a 24-hour period, you might want to sign up for a 48-hour period. I don't know what it may be. But we're going to put a chart up. We're going to put up a sign in the building in reference to where you can sign up. It'll be a big sign where people can sign up 40-day fast for Easter. This kind goeth forth but by prayer and fasting. And we want enough people so that for 40 days, for every 24 hours on those 40 days, there's somebody fasting and praying and going after God. But beyond that, there's some things I'm wanting to do on May 20th, which is Pentecostal Sunday. Pentecostal Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is Pentecost. Amen. Amen, Baptocostal. Anyway, but anyway, there's 50 days after the resurrection is the day of Pentecost. And I am praying about extending the 40-day fast to a 90-day fast. To pray for the day of Pentecost. I understand we don't redo Pentecost. There's only one Pentecost, and that's in Acts chapter 2. But bless God, wouldn't it be nice to get the move of the Spirit of God like it took place on the day of Pentecost? So I'm really contemplating, I'm praying about it, how to structure and what I want to do to accomplish with that in reference to having a 90-day fast and prayer. You say, why? Because this kind goeth forth but by prayer and fasting. I can't do it. I can't manage it. I don't have the energy to accomplish it. I don't have the intelligence to manipulate it. And I know this, but I got a God in heaven who can do what he wants if I'll ask him. All things are possible to him that believeth. What is it that you need tonight? What is it that's in your life tonight that you need that's beyond your control? What is it that you need God to do that's out of the realm of what man can do? In other words, it's not, oh, here, take my prayer request. This is what I want you to pray for, thinking, okay, that person can help you with that area. What is it in your life that is absolutely completely out of your control, where you absolutely cannot manipulate and change the outcome, but you need God to do something with it? So that was the situation here. It was out of this man's control. Serious needs require supernatural intervention. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. We need a supernatural intervening of God into our life and into our church. Now, this is going to shock some of you, but we're going to take a moment to pray. And this is what I want you to do. I want to pray, have you pray as a family. But I want you to pray specifically identifying what is the problem. Hey, teens, what's the problem? What is it you're dealing with? Mom and dad, what is it you're dealing with? What is it that needs to be accomplished in the church or church ministries? Something that you know that you can't change it and you can't do anything about it and you need God to enter in and do it. Identify the need and then talk to God and declare what your desire for the outcome is. And then let's pray believing that God can do that. Now, if you're here by yourself and you need someone to pray with, you can get a hold of someone and pray with them. But I want us to take the next 10 minutes or so and pray specifically for that one thing that we need. Now, I'm serious, teens, mom and dads, men and women, boys and girls, you know what is going on in your life. You know what is overwhelming you. You know what you have tried out. Maybe you've been trying to get it worked out and trying to get it worked out and it hasn't worked out and you have no idea how to work it out. I'm telling you, this kind goes forth but by prayer and fasting. And I think the greatest thing that we can do is go to God and talk to him about it. All right. So what we can do, if you want to come up here to the altar and kneel and pray, you can do that. If you want to pray in your seat, you can do that. If you want to kneel in your pew and do that, that'll be fine. But I think we need to pray. I really think this is the most serious thing that we can do. One of the things that stirred me the first time I ever went to a prayer advance, my brother and I went, and we went with a spirit of evaluation to be able to say, hey, this thing is something I shouldn't be a part of. We went into this thing with a bad attitude, and we certainly wasn't expecting to hear what we experienced there. But I remember walking into that service the first time. And my brother and I sat down pretty close to the back. We didn't want to get too close to the front. And we sat down because we were going to sit and evaluate what was going on. And Harold Vaughn got up and said, men, this is not a men's retreat. This is a prayer advance. He said, let's get on our face before God. And let's get right with God right now. And at that very moment, my brother and I turned around and knelt in our chairs there, and we started crying unto God to speak to us. That was the most powerful prayer advance I've ever went to in my life. It changed my life. It changed my ministry. It changed everything about who I am and what I desire to accomplish. And it was only because of one reason, is because I was given the opportunity, get on your face before God right now and talk to him. You don't need to tell another man, another living soul about it, but you need to tell God. And this man needed his son delivered, and Jesus said, he said, why couldn't the disciples do it? And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of Christians, a lot of people present, a lot of people go to meetings, a lot of people talk about church, a lot of people do a lot of different things, but there's not much supernaturally taking place And I'm talking about getting out of the realm of manipulating, administrating, directing, and planning, and orchestrating things from a human perspective, and let God supernaturally do something in our midst. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, Ocean County Baptist Church needs God. There's nobody in this church that needs God more than me. I need God's touch. We need God to do something. He's got to shake the foundations of this church. He's got to rattle the emotions of our soul. And he has to capture the thoughts of our mind. This kind goes forth, but by prayer and fasting. So let's take some time and pray. And I don't want anybody walking out. I don't want anybody moving around. You can pray. We want to be mindful that God is listening, and we don't want to be a distraction. We want God to talk to us. If you want to come down here and kneel and pray, you come down here and kneel and pray, whatever. And I'll close in a few moments and just allow God to speak to you when you tell him this is the need. This is what my desire is. And God, I'm going through the process. I'm starting the process of going to you so that you can manifest your grace in my life. Let's pray and then we'll close. We come before you, O God, in need of a special anointing and refreshing that comes from the throne of grace. God, I pray that you continue to impress on us, Lord, the necessary need for us to pursue you, Lord, through prayer and fasting. God, we know, we understand we're nothing without you. And so, God, would you be glorified in us, Lord, as we surrender it all to you. God, I pray that we'll see things that will be happening in our lives, in our church, Lord, that can only be attributed to the power and the grace of God. We want it all to be of glory for you, Lord. And so, Lord, speak to us, because thy servant listens, Lord. We hear your voice. So speak to us, O God. Move upon us, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to just sing in the front of your hymnal. There's a little song there, Spirit of the Living God. And I don't think we need a piano or anything, but if you need the words, you can just open up your hymnal in the front flap number D. It's called Spirit of the Living God. Let's sing it out. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh. It's all about the Spirit of the Living God falling fresh on us. Pastor Perpicini, why don't you come and close in prayer?
Let's pray together. God, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity just to pray, just to stop and pray and exalt your name. Lord, there are so many requests represented through this building. Personal needs, financial needs, medical needs. But God, as Pastor said, Lord, these things Lord, some of these things can't be done away with outside of prayer and fasting. And so we humble ourselves, knowing that you are all powerful and you can work in any situation. And we humble ourselves before you, knowing that you're good God to listen to us. As the psalmist wrote, you bow down your ear to us as we humble ourselves to pray to you. God, I pray that you'd hear our requests tonight, that you'd hear the prayers of these children of yours. And Lord, I pray as a good father, Lord, that you would answer, that you'd wrap your arms around each of us and really show us, Lord, that you're here and you hear us. God, you are a great Savior, and we want to exalt you as so. As we go throughout this week, Lord, I pray that we wouldn't hesitate on the job, wouldn't hesitate in our houses to stop and pray, because we need it and we need you. So, Lord, I pray as we wrap things up and we go home tonight, God, show us our need for you. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.